Live. Today's a dark stream, because if I turn these lights on, I'm gonna boil. Alright.
I'm gonna wait for some people to get in so I can start the...
Yeah, reveal the title. The title reveal. Say something?
Right, 8 people. Let it get to 30 and I'll start my farting. Hello, Porio. Tweet it out. Oh, mama. I cannot believe what I just heard.
What?
I have to say this right now because it'll lose the impact later, but my mother just said, man, I don't even know anymore. I've got so many bills to pay that are overdue. You want to order some Uber Eats? I swear to you that this is what she just said in Portuguese.
Isn't she,
welfare queen. That's my mom. She's a welfare queen to be. Give the opportunity.
She has a job. You're giving her extra money. And she still can't pay her bills because she's spending all the money on Uber Eats.
Just came out of her mouth. Man, I've got so many bills overdue. Hey, my brother. You want to order some Uber Eats? I'm not kidding you. Anyway, today's stream topic, you can change the name of the stream. It's called Mental Murder, How to Deal with Cortisol Addicts.
Okay.
That's the topic, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today. Let me finish eating my chicken like a good black person.
Man, NP2 keeps going up. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean some chicken. That's what I'm eating. Yeah, your mom is officially welfare queen posting in your house.
All right. She's asking my brother for like pizza flavors right now. And I know I gave this woman, what, $7,000? You know what $7,000? I could buy 3 cars with $7,000 in Brazil. I could have 3 cars. I could start a dealership with the money she wastes. But let's get to the point here. Mental murder. How to deal with cortisol addicts. People, cortisol is not a drug per se. It's naturally occurring in the brain. It's the thing that makes you feel stressed out. It's like
flight or flight.
Every muscle.
Flight or flight. Only one option. No, fight or flight.
Yeah. All on Uber Eats? All on everything. She bought one of those robots that vacuums.
Roomba?
Yeah. Obviously, it won't get used. She just bought a dishwasher machine, which, and to her, like, I have to get to this point linearly. So the first point is that there are people who are addicted to cortisol. Signs of this being the case: this is a symptom ultimately of self-obsession, of thinking the world spins around you. What they do is that they watch, they have a constant supply of bad news aimed right into their gullet. Okay? 24/7, they watch news, they watch crime shows about bad things happening. Which, by the way, if you turn on ID, I don't know, I think it's ID, ID, I don't know. There's a TV channel, closed cable, which is straight up just like murders in couples. And every show is like interracial couples. Some white dumb broad marries a black guy and then she gets killed because she broke up with him because he punched her in the head or something, whatever they do every time. That's every show. That's every single show. Anyway, that is what cortisol addicts will do. They will actively keep track of coronavirus deaths. They believe it all, even though they have reasons not to do that. Every time you go out, you go outside of your house, they don't like you going outside at all because they think you're going to die, even though you're in, you know, you're in a safe area or whatever. No, you're going to get shot and you're going to die. Every time something bad happens, the worst thing is happening. My life is going to end. Okay? I'll explain to you. You want to know what happens? This is probably my worst day in 2 months. I've been having bad days lately. Bad days for me is a great day. My bad day is a 6 because I'm not a retard who thinks everything is the end of the world. Okay? This is what they'll do. I'll explain to you what is an anxiety disorder right now. Okay, it's cortisol addicts who are getting high off their own supply. All that is. It's not anything else but that. That's anxiety. That's panic attacks. That's anxiety disorder. That's all that is. Addicts who get high off their own supply. So they kill themselves on it because they have no control. At least the external world has some limited supply of bad news. But if you start thinking up bad things happening in your head, yeah, my son who I raised all my life just got shot in the head. You start thinking about that for 30 minutes and then you wonder why you're taking pills. Anyway.
Have no mental hygiene. If I think it, I have to think about it. If it occurs to me, I'm going to dwell on it for the next 30 minutes.
I'll tell you, listen, here's something that a cortisol addict who secretly loves bad things, when bad things happen, they love it. Here's some things that come out of their mouth.
A pop filter, but nowhere to put it.
Here's some things. Okay, first one is, man, everything sucks in my life. I'm so stressed out. Maybe I should quit my job. That's one thing. Here's another one. I'm so in debt right now. I have so many overdue bills. Yo, you want anything for Uber Eats? I'm about to order. The third one is, I was trying to help my dad who has cancer, and like, he's not collaborating. Like, he's not even putting in the effort. These are things that people say. Okay, I've heard them say it. And I was talking to Sophia today. It is a miracle. It is straight from heaven that we have the DNA strand, okay? The DNA strand in us that keeps us from getting up and killing people once every week. There's plenty of people in this earth right now who do that. Porio, this is why it's called mental murder. I'm going to teach you how to deal with this, and this is how I deal with it. I'll get to it after I explain what's going on. Listen, you being an angry person, you being, like, emotional is different. Like, if you have high neuroticism, that's fine, okay? A lot of women are like that. Women are more emotional. That's different than making it so that you feel good from feeling bad.
I mean, yeah, I'm like a stressed out person, but I don't...
You know what Sophia does to deal with that? She comes talk to me and she tells me how much she wants to kill people and kill herself. And then half an hour later, she's fine. That's how she deals with it.
And I'm fine.
That's how I
don't,
do it.
I don't go and... What would it even be?
I'm feeling so bad about school. I don't even like want to work on videos right now. I'm just gonna like chill out for a month.
Yeah, I'm gonna just, I don't know, maybe I should give up on this whole video thing.
Okay.
It'd be like doing
that. That's what it sounds like, okay? Whenever something goes wrong, even if it hits you negatively, if you're sensitive, because I know people that are sensitive and I feel bad for them because I don't have that at all. I'm not a sensitive person. but that's not the thing I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about being... Cortisol addiction actually exists. Probably not a catalog thing, but I'm sure it does. People who get off and feel stable when everything's going wrong.
It's sort of tied to adrenaline junkie thing, I'd say. It's just a different form of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like guys who like come back from war or come out of prison and they call them institutionalized. Same thing, which is like being stressed out at all times, being ready to die. That sensation is more freeing to them than having responsibilities to keep things good. Institutionalized people from prison, that's the best example. Because they get out of prison, they have like, their life is 1,000 times better, but they want to get back to prison because it was simpler, even though it was 10,000 times worse. And there's a lot of different people who are basically the same in this regard. In which they like when everything's going wrong because then they have the kind of stability that they're comfortable with, which is laying down on your couch and crying about how terrible your life is, and then you can do whatever you want. Because if you're crying and stressed out all the time, no one gets to tell you that you're a moron. No one gets to argue with you about how to do things better, ever. You get to whine and weep and take it out on everybody because poor you, right? Poor you getting stressed out. Wow. You have it so bad. It's such a catastrophe in your life that you're stressed out. I bet that doesn't happen to anybody. You're such a rare occasion of things going wrong. This is a kind of people, okay? Keep your mind, because you're going to find them. Some of you probably have family members who are like that. Some of you have friends who are like that. Addicts to feeling bad. And you'll find any excuse to feel mad. Okay? And when you figure out you can produce your own negative emotion, you hook yourself on your own supply of negative emotion, you develop a panic attack condition, anxiety disorder, and you start, you know, spazzing out and like puking the guts out. You have to take pills each pill is worth like $1,000 because you do not know how to clean your own mind. Okay? Mental hygiene. Sophia said that, and that's a phrase I had forgotten, but that's amazing.
Yeah, it seems like If you try to tell them that they don't have to feel so bad, they'll laugh in your face. They'll accuse you of not getting it. They'll mock you like, oh yeah, just like be happy, like smile. But seriously, like you have control over what you think, and just because a thought enters your mind doesn't mean you have to agree with it or linger on it or anything. You can control it to a certain extent. I mean. You know, if you have a gut feeling, that's one thing. If you're thinking about how everything could go wrong all the time, actively, you know, giving into that, like, that's something you can change.
This is a worldwide problem. This is obviously made 1,000 times worse by platforms that show bad news all the time. That's what they're built on. There's plenty of stuff like that. Mainstream and non-mainstream. We already talked about this on videos. Plenty of Channers are like this. Plenty of boomers who watch TV are like this. They're the same way, equally powerless, mentally enslaved to negative emotion. And if you,
I mean, yeah, it's the same like old boomers who will tell you, oh, don't like your grandmother telling you, oh, dude, wear a mask, don't go anywhere. The freaking like Natsosh guys will tell you that as well, which is the funniest thing.
Anyway, like stuff that makes people say the same stuff that makes people say like, yeah, dude, America's dead. Yo, the United Kingdom is all Muslim and dead. They say that stuff obviously makes them feel bad.
Yeah.
But they say that stuff because they feel safer saying that than having hope. Because hope is, like, hope is a choice.
Yeah, hope means hard work.
Hope means, regardless of how things are right now, I'll do my best because eventually they might not be like this. That's the point of it. That's the point of hope. It's a choice, okay? It's a behavior. Anyway, I'll tell you right now, it's a miracle, God-given DNA strand that separates us from Africans, that from like Chinese people.
Because yeah, that we don't just kill everybody all the time. Because that's what they
that
do.
We're not kill. Yeah, that's how we are built to be. We have been built like that for like, what, billions of years? I don't even know. We're just like, we have that tendency in us. We don't do it though. We show restriction, okay?
Our anxiety and nervousness comes from your gut. Yeah, I've noticed that, but I've never been able to resolve that.
It's how many, sort of there. I don't know, maybe I'm more angry than the average person. I'm open to that possibility. I don't act it out, but I feel it more, probably. How many of you, and this is, you don't have to post it in chat, just ask yourself, like, once a week, you want to, you know, hit someone in the head with a frying pan? You know?
Hold on.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Because you know, if you're a man, especially if you're a man, you know, with your upper body strength, you hit someone in the head with a frying pan,
hold on,
you can
pause,
kill them.
The
all right.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Successful. All right. Oh gosh.
I haven't wanted to be violent against someone since I was a child. You are lucky. Okay? Cuz me, personally, I feel a lot of anger. I know people who feel a lot of anger. And it's a miracle that we're not killing people.
Sorry, guys. Sorry for the ear rape. That's...
And I want you to think about this. How many of you are doing fine? Again, you don't need to post it in chat, but how many of you are doing fine, emotionally stable, not in a group home, not addicted to crack, etc.? That's called, like, that's called being in the 1%. Okay? That's what that's called. You are an emotional 1%er. If you got it locked like that, if something bad happens and you go, oh man, that sucks. If that's your reaction.
And then you move on?
Yeah. If that's your reaction, if an hour afterwards you're like, the gut feeling is already gone, you're a 1%er. And you should thank, thank God Almighty, that that's the case, because this is how it feels being me, living where I live, etc. Imagine you're a Subaru from the 90s. Okay, you're not the best car by any definition. Nobody cares about your politics, you retard. You're a Subaru from the 90s. Okay. You're not the best car, you're not super fast, but you're stable, you're reliable. People can get on you and drive from point A to point
B,
go to their jobs.
Actually, that's the thing, that Subaru is demonized. If you say... Actually, I guess I have a story to tell.
Alright.
Should you finish your analogy? Yeah, just finish your analogy and then I'll tell the story.
All right, that's good. If you're a Subaru, okay, you might think to yourself, because you're a Subaru and you're culturally, you're societally aware enough that you notice you're a Subaru and that's a car from the 90s, and you think there's a million cars from the 2000s that are way better than me. If that's what you think, you are in the 1% of best, most reliable, best cars ever. Okay? If you're a Subaru, if you're a human Subaru, you are in the 1% of
best. My camera died.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
let me find the quote. This is a CDC statistic. This is a Carfax. 95% of cars have oranges and pee and penises and sweaty ball sack. This is what I want you to keep in mind. Most cars, the carburetor has an orange floating inside it.
There is orange in the hood, under the hood. It's the fuel is just pee. There's a dildo sticking out the exhaust pipe, and there's a ball sack hanging where the mirror should be.
The rearview mirror. Yeah. The rearview mirror has a ball sack in it.
Yeah.
That's the average car. The average person, you know, something bad happens, and they're listening to sad trap music if they're young, or they're sulking and complaining to their children, and crying and getting in debt if they're older. Yeah. That's what they're doing. That's the average 2000s car. That's the average 2010s car. Okay? That's your situation. I'm telling you, you're doing so much better than everybody right now if you're stable, merely stable. Because most people are not. Tell your story, Sophia.
Okay. So, this is about, like, if you are not a cortisol addict in this day and age, you will be demonized. Actually. So, here's what happened. So, we had some guests over the weekend, and our street, like, people on the street have gatherings from time to time. And so, because it's California, the people in the gathering are, like, old, and they are liberals. And the person that came over is more on the same page as us. And, he didn't know to keep his mouth shut, so to speak. So, when the topic of COVID came up, inevitably, he said, actually, I don't think we should all freak out. I don't think you can keep the economy shut down forever. I think you have to open things up sometime, because this is just not viable. And, what happened was, like, it was, like, awkward silence, and then when he went to the bathroom, two separate people, like, came up to my dad and asked him, is he a Trump supporter? And then later in the conversation, when he was trying to get his word in, they said, no, you keep quiet.
Okay, I started thinking of the frying pan again. Oh, I keep quiet? Okay, I flip over the plate.
Yeah. And this guy is it's the freaking, he's, like, into Eastern religion stuff.
Yeah, that.
And, okay. And last year, he was, like, in conversation, he was telling us about how much he hates Trump. So, like, he's the last guy on Earth. He talks about, like, chakra and whatever, tarot cards. He's the last guy on Earth you would accuse of being a Trump supporter. But because he advocated for not being stressed out and losing your mind all the time, which is what he was advocating for, like, immediately, you're out. That's the, like, above all else.
And when you have a taste of any true negative emotion, listen, a lot of people are on the internet right now and thinking, and they think that being deplatformed is the worst thing. They're mad about people getting deplatformed. They're mad about censorship. They're mad about, listen, there's a thing I see in Gavin that he doesn't really worry about those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Because he has had multiple friends of his go to prison for self-defense.
Which is real. That's real.
Yeah, that's real. Once you have that level of reason to, like, buy a gun and kill people, you lose your concern for the petty teenage crap you would get tangled up with. Listen. Stay human, screw politics. I agree with you, Alicat and Deadstar. My grandfather is dealing with cancer. He just did chemotherapy a couple days ago, first round, okay? Don't feel bad for those guys. They're making money. Don't ever feel bad for those guys. My grandfather, I talked to him. He's fine with it. He's puking his guts out from time to time. He can't sleep properly. He feels a lot of pain. But when you talk to him, he's like, yo, hey, what's up? He goes like, Yeah, all right. Nah, I can't really eat right now. Sort of. That's a bummer. That's how my grandfather talks to me, okay? I'll tell you exactly what my mother does. I was over at my mother's a neurotic cortisol addict. Cortisol being, we already explained that, but, you know, just a negative emotion all the time, okay? I was over at my grandfather's, chilling. We're watching Naked and Afraid. I'm drinking coffee.
Yep.
And I'm feeling good, feeling great, because I like being with him. He's like, fine all the time. Model of stability. He actually taught me how to not be a desperate little itch all the time when I was a kid. I'll tell you the story before I tell the rest of it. When I was a kid, I'd spilled. I'll tell you two different occasions that taught me how to be me. One of them, I had spilled ink all over my arm, and I was crying to the point where I was like losing air in my lungs. He noticed I was doing that. He grabbed me by my arm, took me to the sink. He put the ink remover, the paint remover, on my arm. It all came off, and I felt like an idiot. First time I ever felt like an idiot in my life, because he didn't say a word. He didn't explain to me anything. He just washed it off my arm.
Yep.
And my grandfather's like short, old German guy. Hilarious looking. One time, also, I flipped my entire plate of food on the floor accidentally. This is what kids do, okay?
Yeah.
And I was used to being at home, and I broke a glass. My mother is a hoarder. I'll tell you about that later, too. And we had tons of glasses. Never something to be worried about. Glasses are not expensive, by the way. You can buy new ones easy. When I broke glasses, she would become a Hawaiian, like, Tasmanian devil. Like, banshee.
Yeah.
Like that around me. And I'm like six. I'm retarded. I'm fat. I can't hold a cup properly in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
They're big.
Yeah.
And, like, especially when they have liquid, because they're heavy. So if I tilt them one side and I can't, like, it slips off my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, most imagine meaningless thing of all time.
Imagine you slipping, tripping, falling, throwing glasses everywhere. Your mother running around, pooping on the floor, going crazy.
Most meaningless thing of all time. And, he's not as short as Danny DeVito. Anyway, like, I break a glass and my mother yells at me, like, you don't pay attention to what you're doing! Stuff like that. Mad. Angry.
Yeah.
That I broke a glass.
That is not... Don't do that when you get angry. Don't say, like, general statements like that. Like, you never do this right.
It's so common.
You're turning everybody it into, like, an exponentially larger problem.
Yeah. I know for a fact that that's why I don't talk to my mom nowadays.
Yeah. Victor, you literally never hold a glass correctly. You always break the glass.
I know for a fact that, like, because she is a beacon of negative emotion. And once I had flipped an entire plate of food on the floor. I just wasted a whole meal.
Yeah.
My grandfather obviously hears it.
Yeah.
And I have the most retarded face on planet Earth.
Yeah, I've seen your, like, ID card when you were 10. You had, like, a pudgy face and, like, pouty lips. Just imagining your face.
My mother never hit me. It was all psychological. Women don't hit you.
Yeah.
except when they're lesbians, because they're trying to be men.
Right.
My grandfather walked in the room where I was eating, and he looked at me. and he looked at the plate, and then he looked at me, and he started laughing. Cause he noticed how retarded that was.
Yeah.
I just flipped, like, I didn't spill it. I flipped the entire plate on the floor, you know, face down, trash style, completely, everything gone.
Which is funny and, like, ought to be laughed at.
He laughed at me, and then I legitimately, I had a logical thought in my head, and I asked him, "That's unusual. My mom would be mad at me. Why are you not mad at me?" And he said, "Cause I screw up too." And I was like, "Oh, I'm not retarded. I'm normal. Cause everybody does that." Like, mind. This is what happens when you treat kids like they're gonna be grown-ups one day. When you don't infantilize them, they grow up. They are actually allowed to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
They mentally develop, which doesn't happen with helicopter mothers. Kids just become... If it wasn't for my grandfather, I would be so much worse nowadays. Straight up, I would have been... I probably still would have anger issues, which I don't anymore. Anyway, another occasion in which I was like leaning back on my chair and grabbing my computer desk when I went too far, and eventually I pulled the desk with me and everything fell on the floor. That's hilariously retarded.
Yeah.
Grandfather helped me put it back together, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't berate me for it. Like, okay, did you break anything? Oh, a plate? That doesn't matter. Just put it back. It's working. Everything's fine. No problem. So I never, I'm not a victim of abuse or anything like that. The only thing that happened from my mother being like that was that I don't like talking to my mother because I cannot disagree with her ever. Because you do that once, welcome to a week of torment.
Yeah.
Welcome to probably more, if it's a big thing, welcome to a month of torment. Welcome to 6 months of torment. That's what happens. And this is how you deal with cortisol addicts. Mental murder. And you have to be able, this is integrating shadow tips. You have to be able to be a monster inside your own head if you don't want to be a monster outside of your head. If you don't want to start punching your wall, if you don't want to break your wardrobe with your fists, if you don't want to take it out on people, this is what you do. You take it to the, you push it to the limit. Like that song in Scarface. Inside your head, you start thinking, what if I got up right now? I'm aware of my own physical capabilities. I probably probably need a weapon. What if I got up? No one would have suspected. This is so unexpected. I would grab a knife and stick it in that person's face. And you think, oh man, that's crazy. You hear that from everybody. Everybody's going to tell you that if you ever say you have those thoughts. Obviously, because they're, you know, skinny 20-something-year-olds. Who are homosexuals. But this is the case today. Okay, my grandfather has cancer, as I previously mentioned. I was with my grandfather drinking some coffee. My mother comes in, like, he just did chemo. If he eats, he pukes, and he doesn't want to eat, so he's eating very little.
Yeah.
And my mother starts going like, "You're not eating. You're supposed to be eating. Yo, you want to eat a little bit of..." She starts talking to him like he's a little kid, and she's berating, like, really authoritative and angry. "Want to eat a little bit of this? You have to eat a little bit. Come on. You have to eat a little bit." That's how she, like, getting up in his face about it. Like, he's the one, because she thinks she can do that because she spent... "Oh, I spent such a poorly slept night. I had to take your grandfather to the hospital." Yeah, that you still don't have cancer. You still didn't do chemo.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. You get to shut up.
The song, so she starts getting up in his face. In the plastic pulse.
She starts getting up in his face about it, and I'm like annoyed. But I don't think she does it that much when she's in front of me. She does it sparingly when she's in front of me. Because, I don't know, I think she notices. She knows at some level that it's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I come to my home. I stay in here. I'm working, doing what I do every day. She comes in at like 7 p.m. She starts crying, lamenting herself about how stressed she is. And she says, and I swear to God, this is what she says. Your grandfather just isn't helping. He's just not putting in the effort. In her mind, she's suffering more than him. And you know what? She's right. The only error in her judgment is that her suffering matters. Only error in her judgment.
Had because, a million thoughts of shooting and killing people, especially at school. You and me both, man. I've thought about how easy it'd be to commit a shooting, especially in the gymnasium.
So my grandfather is doing chemo, and he has cancer. And she's crying about how bad she has it. People are like this. She probably just cares about your granddad a lot. My uncle doesn't do the same thing.
Yeah, you don't do the same thing.
I don't do the same thing. My grandfather is my father. And why
would she be insulting him then? That he's not doing enough.
Yeah, if it was about caring about him, it wouldn't come out like that.
Yeah.
She straight up, yeah, your grandfather just isn't helping. I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about quitting my job so I can help him more. It isn't about him because she can't help him. There's nothing she can do. She can't make him have an appetite. He just did chemotherapy. You can't make that happen. You can't get mad. Yeah, you're just not eating because you don't... You can't force them to do that. Obviously, it's a body thing. My grandfather is eating. He's like just very little over the day. But she's getting mad and acting like it's about her. And she wants to quit her job so she can help my grandfather more. I talked to my grandfather about this. He said, obviously, because he's a sane human being. That's not the solution. That's what he said to me. That's not the solution. Before he was even having to go to the hospital, and like, and I'm saying this because I know that she has an anxiety disorder, and she took it out on me and my brother for a while.
Yeah.
And completely out of control woman right now. And like months ago, I was gonna go to my girlfriend's birthday. The coronavirus thing, like the gyms hadn't even been shut down, and I don't live in a major city, so it's not an issue. And she's telling me like, yeah, you're gonna have to cancel your girlfriend's birthday because it's the coronavirus. And then I say, no, I'm going to go. And this is the thing. At some level, she knows she can't. When it's about what I'm going to do, she can't stop me. So it's all just like using her mom chips to get me to do what she wants. So when she cashes her in to do something for her, I do it. But if it's about me, I'm not going to do it. And one day I have a couple friends over to watch a movie. And she calls me and starts saying stuff like, yeah, your grandfather has cancer and you don't care about him. She's telling me this. My grandfather raised me. Okay? And if you think, oh no, but she's her daughter, she cares more. My uncle isn't like this. This isn't, oh, she just cares. No, my uncle isn't like that. Because my grandfather, he isn't literally on his deathbed. All right, go get yourself a drink. I'll check chat while she isn't here. You think that stuff too? Yeah, of course. Matriarchal tyranny disguised as concern. Yeah, exactly. It's about her. It's not about other people. It's about being in control. My girlfriend's mother is similar. It's about being in control. And when there's... Because when, you know, when things go bad, you're in control, basically. Teenagers do this too. That's the whole point of, you know, dating guys who are terrible. That's the whole point. Because when you're a victim, you're in control of the narrative, right? And people have empathy. You have control of the narrative of what's going on. And I have an eye for this thing. I have a knack for noticing it. Or my girlfriend told me this. She knows girls like these. They cut their hair short, or you know, they obsess about their body because they have no control over anything else, and they want control, so they create the situation where they have control over something, even if it's the color of their hair. That's what it's about. It's about control. And she treats my grandfather like he's a child. It's about control. She doesn't have me and my brother anymore as a child. So now she's trying to get my grandfather to be her kid. It's disgusting. Like, I think, this is what I'm thinking. Like, oh man, that's crazy. But no, I think that when I see teenagers cutting their hair short and becoming bulimic because they cannot deal with stress, she's a 44-year-old. She doesn't get that card.
Yeah.
She has two children.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not excusable. My grandfather has the cancer. You can say, oh, people cope with things in different ways. Yeah, she copes with things in a terrible, retarded way.
She doesn't know what to do. Probably you should talk to her.
I tried.
Yeah, just makes it worse.
She doesn't listen. She gets mad at me. And then she starts saying stuff like, yeah, just drop out of college and you're going to have to learn with the hard knock life anyway. Like stuff like that. Yeah, go live on your own with your girlfriend. If you're not here to help me out, I don't need you around. That's her reaction, okay? And I'm gonna do it. I'm taking her advice, by the way. I'm gonna leave. Because this is...
Yeah, you have unnecessary. To pay rent anyways. I have to pay rent. Because she can't pay bills because she's spending all her paycheck on Uber Eats.
Man. I remember me and my brother when we were like... I was 7. He was probably 15 or 14. And, 16. And we did the math on how much money she spent on cigarettes per month. And it was a retarded amount of money. And we sort of asked ourselves, like, is our mom really that smart with her money? Because it doesn't seem like that. That's something every adult will tell you. No, she doesn't. She stopped. But that's something every adult will tell you and behave
as if they have the secret knowledge. It's actually way harder than it looks like.
She will do this every time I try to tell her she's wrong on anything. She acts like I'm a retarded 5-year-old. And talks over me, ignores what I'm saying. And if it's about my grandfather and I tell her, yeah, like, yeah, you should do this differently. And she's like, Dad, I can't argue right now. I'm too stressed out to argue. You just, like, don't argue with me. Or if I try to tell her, you know, oh, that's not the way to do that. That's, you know, not even good for grandpa. She's like, she has done this more than once. She implies I don't care about my grandfather. This is the woman who ran from home and, forbade me from visiting my grandfather for years when I was a kid. For a long time.
Really? Why?
Some argument she had with my grandpa. She literally put my brother as prison warden, and I couldn't leave my house and go to see my grandfather. There was a gate between our houses.
That's funny. This parent crap makes me want to move out right now. I'm 16, no job, barely any money, but I would gladly move out and take any crap job just to be by myself.
Like, this is the thing about parents. I'm not, familial values, etc. You focus on yourself, always. You don't resent your parents, you don't have to be buddies with your parents either. Your parents are your parents, okay? And that's it. I want to be... If being a buddy with my mom is not a priority. I gave that up when I didn't have a dad and I figured out, oh, I'm not dead. This isn't the end of my life. And you see a lot of people talk about this stuff, like, I don't have a parent, dude. Like, oh, this is why my life sucks. Everything is hell, and I'm so depressed all the time because I don't have a dad. That's what they blame, like, a bunch of black people committing, like, literal murder and selling crack. Yeah, they just didn't have parents. Like, really? Lean towards not exactly empathy. Because you can deal with that. You don't have to be buddies with your parents. I'm not dying. I'm not sprinting to be buddies with my parents. I'm ready to let go of it. This is a problem Feather had. She could never let go of her mom, no matter how terrible her mom was to her.
Never, ever.
Never. Never. Mom literally beating her, putting her in dangerous situations, dating dudes who possibly could be dangerous to her. And Feather's still right there. No, I'm not leaving my mom. I don't have to be buddies with my parents. I'm cool with that. I sincerely don't need it. And I sort of feel like it's Drake. You want to be buddies with, you're obsessed with being in good terms and friends. No, I have to be in good terms as in, you know, I can call you and we can talk for 15 minutes. That's what matters.
Wasn't her mother a pig too? Your grandfather's wife?
Yeah, my mom's mom. Total pig. Total unlovable. My grandfather is a saint for dealing with that. So I don't have to be buddies. You don't have to be buddies. You don't have to be buddies with your kids. That's a privilege. If you're a really good parent and your kid is not hell-bent on being retarded, you're friends. That's the case.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're the parent. You're supposed to be caring, and your kid is supposed to be supposed to obey you until they move out, which you're supposed to aim towards having them do ASAP because you want them to be adults.
Yeah.
That's the necessaries, okay? That's it. Beyond that, it's a privilege. And my mom hasn't earned that privilege. My grandfather earned it. He fed me for most of my life. And like taught me stuff, talked to me, helped me out. Genuinely, like, he never tried to intervene in a negative way. Like, no, don't do that. He just let me do whatever I wanted. In the sense, like, as long as it didn't hurt me or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, someone picks on you at school, beat them up. Always his lesson. Stuff like that, like that sort of style, father style parenting.
How hard is it? How hard is it? I think about parenting a lot more often now. But, like, is it that hard, really?
I don't think it is. I think most people.
Did a really good job.
I think a lot of parents get an easy job. Because if you were a problem, so if you were a real problem child, your parents probably would have been pooping themselves forever. They probably would have pumped you full of drugs.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the parents that, people that were born between the 1960s and 1980s. This is a pattern I've noticed, at least in Brazil. They owe everything they have to their parents. My mom, her house, belonged to my grandfather. My grandfather let her have it for free.
Yeah, that doesn't apply to me because both my parents are immigrants.
Yeah. My girlfriend's parents live with my girlfriend's mom's parents. Everybody lives off of them. They don't even work. And my girlfriend does everything around the house. So I'm thinking, I'm not gonna be you know, you see all these things about, yes, being a mom is the hardest thing.
Yeah, then how did literally everyone do it?
Yeah, like the giving birth part is like painful. I'll give you that. Yeah, the rest is sort of an easy gig.
I don't know, some tens of hours. Like, but yeah, the rest of it, like,
easy gig, honestly.
It's gotta be.
Unpopular opinion, you guys can disagree with me, but it's not that difficult. It's difficult if you're dead broke and retarded, but that's also your fault.
Right. Like, third world country, have no money, and had 10 kids when you were, like, 16.
Yeah, have no money. And my mom had my brother when she was 16. And she, like, was dead broke.
Yeah.
Because instead of being, you know, following the standard of stability despite terrible conditions of my grandfather, he was homeless for, like, 3 years. He was kicked out of his house by his mom. And his dad was insane, literally mentally insane. And my grandfather sold vegetables in a street to buy a house. That's my grandpa right there. So this is what I'm telling you. It's no seven-headed monster. It's probably harder to be a CEO. I'll tell you that much.
Well, definitely, because a really small portion of the population is CEOs.
Yeah. Seriously. So it's not that, I'm telling you honestly, it's not that hard. It's easy to F up if you're intent on it, because if your kid sees that you don't want him or her to be doing well, they're not gonna like you. And they're not going to be well, you know, functioning. Because they grew up with a retard in their house.
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be an authority, but wasn't.
I mean, okay. Your responsibility as a parent is to make sure your kid is able to support themselves, right? That's the general principle. So, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of avenues you can do that. It doesn't, like... So I was thinking about it, like... I don't think I'll be forcing school on my kids that much, really. Like, from the beginning, yeah, if they're, like, pooping in the classroom, like, dude, you can't do that. But once they get to a certain age where they can start figuring out what they actually want to do, it's like, well, if you want to pursue something else, then, like, go for it fully. The only thing you can't do is just sit and play video games at home. But besides that, you got a lot of options.
Yeah, school is irrelevant. All of that stuff. It's, so much of the parenting right now has been, like, outsourced. Parents have an easy time. They're not doing their jobs, basically. I'm seeing a lot of people who are self-parenting, figuring stuff out on their own.
Yeah.
I know people. They learn more from them, from their friends than their parents. You know, that's weird, right? It's real weird.
That's weird. I don't know what that's like at all.
Seems unbelievable, right? Man. So...
I think a big thing, yeah, have the woman be a housewife. And don't be working some crazy 14-hour-a-day job where you come home too late and you're too tired to hang out with your kids ever. Like, for the man. Work a reasonable job so that you can spend, like, a proper amount of time with your kids and teach them stuff.
Parents usually have your best interest in mind. Friends, peers usually don't. Don't tell me that. Tell parents that. Because they're shipping those kids away into school.
Yeah, they're supposed to, and then they do the exact opposite.
Yeah, I'm gonna ship you to school. You get taught by a parent. You get your morals from a teacher. parent, yeah, they, not a parent, like, childless.
Above
teacher.
All else, they like love you more than anyone else. And then a lot of them F their kids over, regardless.
Yeah, go to school. You get taught how to jewel, and you get taught how to stroke a wooden dong by your teachers and peers in school.
And then your kid tells you what happened, and you're like, ah, nah, dude. You're lying. Ah, whatever.
And you tell, hey, mom and dad. This is terrible. And they're like, oh, like, it's, online school is, like, for weirdos. You're not going to go to online school. That's what they do?
Yeah, I didn't want children.
Oh, I have to, like, transfer you? Dude, I'm not even going to do that.
I kind of have the perfect job for a housewife, because it's, like, very limited hours and can do it from basically wherever, so... So that's base and red pilled.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not gonna be sitting here. There's so many things like that nowadays. They hate fathers, but they love mothers, and oh man, the mom is the most important. Moms always get the custody and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not that difficult. Not that hard at all. Sort of keep them safe, feed them.
It's way more likely to land with an abusive mother than abusive father. Because it takes a lot to like be punching your kid in the face, but you know, to do psychologically terrorize them. All it takes is an unintegrated shadow. And you're in the money. Joe Biden.
You know why parents are antagonized? Because fathers are antagonized. Because fathers are the one who go, you're getting bullied? Dude, just like beat that kid up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go there, have fun. Yeah, I don't care where you go, just come back by 10, don't do drugs. Also, don't be having sex with random people, because you're my daughter, and I don't want you to freaking start having sex when you're 15. That's what fathers do, okay? And that's why they hate it, because they're true freedom. True freedom.
Right. You're not freedom a spiritual from slave. You're not a negative emotion slave.
Go anywhere. Go anywhere you go. Don't be doing drugs. Don't be having sex with anybody. But besides that, that's fine by me. Go there, get in a fight, who cares? Oh, you're gonna get suspended? No, you're gonna get off school? Oh no, I would hate for that to happen. Don't get suspended, please.
Yeah, they care about the stuff that matters and don't care about the stuff that doesn't, and the mothers they idolize do the exact opposite.
Yeah, single mom.
Oh yeah, go have all the sex you want, but oh, don't like, get bad grades.
Get bad grades. I'm gonna look bad. Every other mom is gonna think I'm so terrible mom.
Yeah.
I knew this kid in my class who smoked weed with his mom. Okay. That's...
What? You mean like hitting the bong?
Oh. I'm pretty sure it was like the bongs aren't a thing in Brazil, so I think we're like rolling up smoking.
Oh yeah.
So don't be depending on your parents.
Hey, yo, pass the joint, mom.
Negatively or positively, don't depend on your parents for excuses, and don't be a kid until you're 25. When you're 18, you should have a healthy amount of detachment from your parents. I had to develop that earlier because I basically had no option, but whether you have issues or not with your parents, even if when they're the greatest people ever, just have a healthy amount of detachment. You probably should call them, once a week? Talk to them once a week, okay? Besides that, their job is done once you're 18. It's supposed to be done. Once you're an adult. Oh, you're a grown-up? All right. Get out of my house, grown-up. Why are you in my house eating my food for free? Grown-up in my house? Parents have to have a degree of detachment from their kids, too. Because you're not your kids. Don't live vicariously through your kids.
Yeah.
So detachment is healthy because you're not supposed to be with your parents. You're not supposed to be, you know, with your parents until you're 90. Sooner you're a grown-up, you detach. To an extent, you know, rockets, they have the thing that makes them go up into the atmosphere. Like that. Goes up into space after that. And you gotta let it go. Otherwise, it's too heavy. The rocket isn't gonna go through. It's gonna fall straight back into the earth. And that ain't good. That ain't good. That's why and mental murder is what allows you to detach yourself from people in general, especially people who are familiarly tied to you or anything like that. Be okay with thinking bad things about them because they're people and they're flawed, and it's okay to not like them. They're not perfection. They're not perfect. There's a line in Fight Club where he goes, you know, our fathers are supposed to be models for God. If our fathers bailed on us, what does that say about God? It says that fathers are not good role models for God. That's what it means. That's what it's supposed to mean anyway. So don't think your parents are some standards of, like, of course, when you're a kid, that's not an option. But when you grow up, you articulate the standards beyond them.
Birth control or risk teen pregnancy? Okay, don't put your daughter in birth control, and if you raise them properly, they're not gonna be banging.
One thing, like, we caught on when we were teenagers, but these people were adults by the time these things rolled by, and they didn't become skeptical of it at all.
The song is Karn Marth by Aphex Twin.
They do their best, but they often don't know what the best thing is. I really don't excuse that sort of behavior. Because rule number one of being a nurse or any sort of doctor, which you basically are the psycho.
If your daughter is old enough to know to be banging.
Why is she living with you?
Yeah. Like, unless you mean like teenage. But if you didn't send them to public school, it's going to be hard for them to pull that one off.
Like, a lot of people right now, the stuff, the crazy stuff, it was on them. Like, porn, sex, drugs. It was all around them when they were little kids. They didn't have the brains to question it. But these things were rolling around when people were adults. And the average parent was okay with it. So I don't excuse that sort of stuff.
Kind of music. I don't know.
You don't know what the best thing is. Like, first rule of any sort of doctor, which you are, you're your kid's like medical handler and prison warden. Those are your two roles, okay? Mental well-being, mental and physical well-being, and keeping them from doing bad things, even when they're, you know, even when it might not be comfortable for them. Those are your jobs as a parent. Rule number one of the doctor part is do no harm. Hippocratic oath.
What constitutes as harming?
Something that will never benefit them. Not now, not ever. Not in the future. It's not a sacrifice. It's just pointless. Is this going to benefit them when they're an adult? That's what you should be looking forward to. When your kid's an adult, everything you do should be geared towards that. If you're gearing your things towards benefiting them towards when they're kids, you don't have the prison warden. And if you're not benefiting them for when they're adults, if when they're adults you start asking for money from them, you're not doing your do no harm part, because you're not concerned with your kids' well-being when they're adults. You're leaning on them. It's like you're Tyson Fury, you know, hugging the other dude, laying your weight on them. That's what you're doing. Isn't given anymore? Yeah, I'm not surprised. Don't force your kids to go to church. How about you freaking eat your own poop, man?
Don't force your kids to go to church. Isn't there, there's some cutoff where you can't force them to do that stuff anymore. And they have to make their decision. But I forget what it is.
Take your kids to church.
Yeah, take them to church.
Get them baptized, presented, all that.
And explain stuff to them so they're not like, you know, I'll be an edgy atheist because it's like smart.
Yeah, exactly. Because then they learn about religion from watching The Simpsons and going to school. Anyway, this is the point about cortisol addicts. They always pick, this is what my mom did. She picked my grandfather's cancer because since she could never fix it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Since she could never fix it, that's the perfect thing to like get negative emotion from, because it's an infinite supply. That's what dudes in 4chan do. Like, what do we fix? Immorality. How do you fix that with being like negative, with feeling negative emotion all the time? How do you fix that? Same thing with my mom. What they always look for is something that they cannot solve, so that they have an excuse to be feeling bad and, you know, putting out that negativity all the time. That's what they do. Addicts, a lot of them. I asked my dad if I could stop going. He said no. I got kicked out a month or two later.
Wait, how old were you?
How old were you? Pick an unreachable goal and then lament that you have not reached it. That's what these addicts do.
Yeah. So they always have a source of negative emotion. Slurping
up. They always have a source of, yeah, dude, I'm doing bad. They're never doing good. Everything always seems to be ending. The world is always ending. That's Feather, too. World is always ending. Oh, man. Oh, my life is like the worst. I just got a bad grade in math and my mom's like super mean to me. All the time.
I know a few rape tourist type girls. Girls with a rape fantasy who actively put themselves at risk and who use it for attention as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I know all about that.
You know, that's the thing that they don't say, but a lot of those girls who are, they wanted that abusive relationship. They put themselves in that position. I just heard about a few days ago, this like YouTuber guy was dating two chicks at the same time. And the girl who exposed it was saying, like, she knew about it. It wasn't a secret. She knew about it, and she let him do it. And said she even considered going back with him. It's like, yeah, and I'm supposed to feel bad for you when you agreed with it, moron. No. You don't need God or fear to be moral. How do you decide what morality is? Objectively. Because if morality, oh, you just figured out on your own. Pick your own morality. Yeah, my morality is that I kill you and I get away with it. Simple. Simple. I don't know, you probably came from Twitter, so you're probably not with the program, but can't have morality without God. So what you gotta do to deal with all these things, buy yourself a punching bag. It's gonna solve 30% of your psychological problems. Can't have morality or objective morality. There's no such thing as morality that is subjective. That's called freaking anything but morality. Do whatever you want, that's your morality. Subjective, that means you come up with your own. What kind of morality is that? Pointless to even call it morality. It doesn't deserve that name. Guarantee your morals are from Judeo-Christian background, always. Everybody in the West has those, even when they're atheists. I'm very tolerant of politician killing, yes. I honestly think you can find God without church, though. I mean, there was a time when that happened, when there was no proper church. So it's not literally impossible, but if what you mean is, like, yeah, just trail your own path, that's really risky, I wouldn't do it, and you can't really. You're away from the body of Christ, which is a church, which he said was a church. Can't get away from that.
Treat others as you would want to be treated. What about the girls who want to get raped?
Yeah.
And why even bother with treating others the way you want to be treated? Doesn't matter anyways.
Why would I do that?
Why would I do that when you could, you know, commit crimes and get ahead?
Yeah, why do that when I could just treat others any way I want and not get anything in return? No karma, no God, no justice. Also, what if I wanted to be treated badly? What if I think I deserve it?
If you want to get raped, it's not rape. Yeah, but you know what I mean. People who are effed up in the head.
How sure are you that everybody wants to do good? It seems a lot of people like feeling bad. Where this is what it's all about. A lot of people would feel way happier if everybody was miserable, including them. That's called Satanism. Behavioral Satanism. It's not about justice. It's all about everybody needs to be suffering, and I don't care if I have to suffer too. As long as everybody else suffers. What if I'm okay, and mentally I'm okay with the consequence of somebody killing me at some point? That's fair. I kill them and they kill me. I'll just do it all the time. Everybody does it all the time anyway. Yeah, no progress. Everybody killing me. How about avoid causing others pain? Prescriptive. And also subjective. Why would I subscribe to that? When causing somebody else pain may bring me benefit.
Yeah.
Maybe even more benefit than their pain. So then, you know, basically it squares out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sacrifices. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you gotta undergo difficulty to
be right back.
Yeah, what's important? Yeah, unnecessary pain, more like. Yeah, but even if you refine that rule to be really, really good, there's no reason to follow it. Because nobody will ever hold you accountable. Yeah, it is a keyboard. Man, it's freaking hot. I'm sweating my balls off. Behavioral Satanists. I think I remember a Star Trek episode with that as a theme. Really? Can you play well? No. I know one song. What's the song Montreal by Autechre? I think it's getting worse. The media, all that. I think it's continually getting worse. How about sacrificing your selfish wishes where it would hurt or disadvantage others that are not actively gaining society? What? Still doesn't answer the question of why I should even be moral in the first place without, you know, God or anything like that. Oh, you weren't asking me what the song that's playing? You were asking me what song I can play. Oh, it's Captain Easy Chord by Stereolab. Cause you have a conscience. Yeah, why should I listen to it? I don't listen to every thought that I have, or everything that's going on in my brain. I mean, even if they were to follow some, like, morality that makes sense concretely, rigorously, there would be no reason to. It's meaningless. It's pointless. There is no incentive to be moral. It's self-sacrifice. Some are willing, but most are not. I'm not giving myself any advantage being moral. Yeah, well, then there's no, like, there's an existential reason to be moral in religion. If you are just atheist materialist, it's not even righteous. There is no categorization of it. It's just a waste of time and meaningless. So you can do it if you want, but, like, logically, there is no reason to. I used to listen to Stereolab's Dots and Loops every day in the early 2000s. Yeah. Legendary. I think Stereolab is the, been listening to them for the longest time out of anybody. If you feel the urge to do that moral self-sacrifice, despite there being no atheistic reason to, you should ask yourself why. why did pop music take such a nosedive? I think it's always been crap, but as worse and worse things become more socially acceptable, they're gonna get away with gearing it towards degeneracy more and more. Do I like MF Doom? Yeah. Like, yeah. As the culture just keeps shifting worse and worse, you can get away with more boobs and butts and kids have sex and all that crap. But musically, I don't know. If on that level, it's really changed as much as just the subject matter and the marketing and the videos. Like, I'm just as uninterested in some trap song by Future as I am in, I don't know, the Beatles or something like that. Rape is bad. I wouldn't rape people. Well, why not? Because you don't like it? Because you don't enjoy it? Some people do. In that case, should they do it? You can have a similarly Christian moral compass without being religious or subscribing to a faith. I know you can, but again, there's no reason why it should be exactly that way or why you should do it at all. So, not atheist, but I don't worship. Well, what does that mean? Pop music has always been bad, but some decades are worse than others. I'm in the minority in thinking 80s music is trash. I don't know, I haven't listened to enough from each decade to really get a feel for it. But probably 60s was a hotspot of gay garbage, is my intuition. People taking psychedelics, the worst. Freaking be an alcoholic, do cocaine, do heroin, whatever. Just don't freaking take psilocybin or DMT, you retard. For some reason, I've had a cop haircut in my head for the past 3 days. I'm glad to hear it. Thought 80s was more gay than the 60s? Again, I wouldn't know, but I would confidently assert, despite my lack of knowledge, that the 60s is more gay, because I think of, like, John Lennon, Imagine, people smoking weed and, you know, university campuses. Let's all hold hands and take LSD and have gay sex. 80s was definitely the gayest decade of music. Well, what was going on? Isn't it just, like, synth stuff? Gay is trash. No, I mean literally homosexual. I don't know how 80s was all about anal. Can you guys like send examples of what you're talking about? Because all I know is synth stuff. You know, as opposed to like acoustic guitar. Talking about smoking a fat doobie. 60s, pot, LSD, and gays. 80s, LSD, DMT, cocaine, and gays. Well, you guys are probably right. The music was about having sex in the butthole. When did YMCA come out? Because I know that's literally about, like, having gay sex with young boys at the YMCA. Oh, shoot. Right, the Village People. Okay, 1978. Late 70s? Wait, that's what the YMCA... Yeah, the song. It's literally about that. Watch the video. It's like five gay guys. Who are, gay. Yeah, cocaine was the big thing. Yeah, just read the lyrics. You'll figure it out. You think Victor died? Thanks for ruining that song for me. Well, I mean, if you were just actually listening to the lyrics for a second, you'd pick up on it. John, a lot of gay people, a lot of gay Satan. I don't think they're gay as much as they're Satanists. They'll have sex with anything, man. Yeah, I'm not liking YMCA well thinking about the lyrics. Yeesh. Both, literally and figuratively gay now. Which is insane. Insane and a travesty. Yeah, freaking everyone's gay. Everyone's bi and gay.
I'm back. You there?
Yo.
Guess who had to solve the problem that I felt out before it even happened? So my mom and my grandpa had a fight/argument. Because she kept trying to force food down his throat and he didn't want to eat because it made him feel like his insides were exploding. And that goes for ingesting anything. So I went there and I talked to him and I said, "My mother is pissing you off, isn't she?" And he said, yes. And he said, dying is better than being annoyed like this.
Oh, man.
Which is true. He looked at my face and he was telling me that I was talking to him. And explaining to him, like, yeah, this is what my mom's doing. She is annoying. And he agreed with me on everything. He's like, he said, yeah, she's got to have everything her way or else it's not good enough. And she gave him these, like, things to make her, to make him, she gave him something to chew on, some chew to make him feel better or whatever. And it just gave him hiccups. And he feels pain, obviously, when he has hiccups. His GI tract is, you know, feeling bad. And I was telling him, like, okay, can you drink some water? And he said, yeah. And then he drank water. Because when somebody's sick, you don't get mad at their inability to be healthy. And this retard, this sow that I live with. This is why I say that being friends with your parents is a luxury, a privilege, because you might have parents like these, and if you like them, you have Stockholms. I came home. I had already talked to him for like 15 minutes. I was talking to him, but, you know, figuring it out with him. This is what my mother's doing. You gotta tell her she can't be around all the time. She wants to quit her job to be with you 24/7, and you guys are gonna kill each other. This keeps going this way.
You better get raped. Rape time. Ooh, my wiener. Ah. I would confront her about it. I don't know. Yeah, pray for her. The most you can do.
I think, yeah. She just found out that I didn't read him this retarded article. Like, reading him an article is gonna make him eat. Shh. Cannot curse. Yeah. Go read your grandfather. He's like mad at him. Yeah. Go read him. Read him this article. About how it's healthy. She does this every time. Every time we ever argue.
She finds an article.
Yeah, to like support her point.
Aha.
And she's gonna get mad at me now because she just figured out that I didn't read it to him. And oh man, come ask me for money again, you dyke. Come ask me for money, man. Come ask me for money. I just bought you 1/3 of a dishwasher. Lord, forgive me, man. Yeah, I'm gonna go over sleep in my grandfather's house. And guess what? Awesome. Awesome sauce. I don't care. Like, I care. I've given her $7,000. You know what she did with it? Burnt it. Because she's still in debt somehow. She's still in debt. Every time I pray a rosary, it's dedicated to all this stuff. It's dedicated to this situation because there's nothing else bad going on. I'm already 18. Every time I pray the rosary, I'm hoping this situation gets better. But she wants to fight him. She wants to get on his case. Whatever. I don't mind. Like, I care. Get mad at me. Go right ahead.
She better give you that money back.
What are you gonna do? Kick me out? I pay the rent. This house is my grandfather's. Kick me out. I'm gonna go live with my grandfather's. I'm gonna get free Wi-Fi from my uncle because I know he's gonna give me. And I'm never, the next time I see you, I'm gonna deck you. you kicked me out of my house. I'm 18. I just turned 18 last month. Pathetic. Treating her. Really? Really? When they're in pain? When they're getting chemo? That's what you do? That's your behavior? I don't know. Whatever. Hey, whatever.
You want to wrap it up? I'm overheating.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. See you guys later.